watch your head!
Hello. You are listening to CKUW 95.9 in Winnipeg, Manitoba. I'm your host, Josh. This is Flex Your Head, a show where we explore a discrete vein of indie rock each and every week for an hour. The song that we just heard is by a band called Pot Valiant off of an EP they put out. The song's called Low Dexterity Points. Actually, what we listened to was a rip of a 7-inch that I picked up at Into the Music, I think around 7 years ago or something like that. So that's kind of exciting to spin that. Anyway, I think I'm in a bit of a chatty mood today. I'll try to rein it in. Today, I'm going to attempt a history of emo music. And you might be thinking Taking Back Sunday, maybe Panic at the Disco, My Chemical Romance, Fall Out Boy. That's not exactly what I'm talking about, though it has its place. I'm going to attempt a history of emo. We'll see how it goes. There are so many weeds to get lost in. Anyway, in order to begin, we're going to go to Washington, D.C., and the early 80s, and a band called Minor Threat, world-renowned hardcore band fronted by Ian MacKaye. Anyway, let's get on with it. Here is Little Friend by Minor Threat off their LP, Out of Step. Little Friend by hardcore band Minor Threat, fronted by Ian MacKaye. Super influential hardcore band. And a connection to my show, actually, in the title Flex Your Head. So just to give a little bit of context, the scene at the time in Washington, D.C., the hardcore scene, and bands like Minor Threat were really promoting this straight edge lifestyle. You know, we're not going to sleep around, we're not going to drink, we're not going to smoke. And there was sort of this righteous, I guess you could say, kind of energy, but blended with its own kind of machoism. But then it came to pass that the scene started to become co-opted by these kind of skinhead adjacent kids who were just, who kind of had a xenophobic perspective and were just aggressive and didn't really care about the virtues extolled in the music. They just wanted to smash things. And so people started to refer to the hardcore kids as muscleheads. And Ian and co clapped back, trying to reclaim the moniker by saying, flex your head. You know, it's not just, you know, your head's a muscle and we're using it. It's not just about the machoisms or whatever. But eventually, it seems like that wasn't entirely successful. And Ian and some of the other members of the scene thought, we need to schedule a revolution, which might seem like a crazy idea, and I think it is a little crazy, but that's what they did. And in the summer of 1985, they decided to hold a revolution, now referred to as Revolution Summer. They quit their hardcore bands and they started new bands that instead of, well, I'm going to get into it a little bit later. Let's hear a song first. This is a band that Ian founded called Embrace. And here's a song called Dance of Days. Dance of Days by the band Embrace. Already, I find it interesting going from Minor Threat to Embrace because, of course, we still have Ian on vocals in both cases. And so it's easier to compare them in some ways. Embrace's music is clearly coming out of hardcore, but I think there are some interesting differences. It seems to me that there's something different happening in the rhythm section, in that it's still kind of choppy like hardcore music, but maybe it has a little bit more of a swing to it. And the guitars, there's more space for a little bit of noodling, I think. And even though Ian is still barking the lyrics, there's something that just points towards crooning, just ever so slightly. It's a little bit more melodic. And one song really isn't enough to tell the difference, but there's also this shift in lyrical content too, I think. And that so much of hardcore music at the time was outward focused, you know, politically charged, politically motivated, you know, expressing your discontent with the injustice that you see in the world and what you can do to change it. Whereas the things, we'll come to find this in subsequent songs too, the things, the contents of the lyrics in Embrace songs were more internal, or at least a step towards interiority, where we're talking about how we feel. Yeah, which is a hallmark of emo music. Anyway, a writer at Thrasher, I'm sure listeners are somewhat familiar with Thrasher, the skateboard company. They used to publish, they still publish a magazine, but they used to do a lot of music reviews and stuff too. And there was, I'm not sure who, but there was a reviewer for Thrasher who tried to make sense of this shift from Minor Threat to Embrace. And he wrote an article in, I think it was a review of a show in Thrasher. And there's this great soundbite of Ian at an Embrace show between songs commenting on the review. So I have that queued up here. Let's see if I can get it.
I must say, emocore must be the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Well, come on, man!
But just in case you're wondering, I read in my Thrasher the other day that in fact, what my band, along with other bands in the city, was playing was emocore. Well, I know, emotional hardcore. As if hardcore wasn't emotional to begin with.
I hope you could hear that. It was coming through quite... I need to figure out a few mixing things. But anyways, I hope that you could hear that. Or he's saying, you know, hardcore music is already emotional. So, like, what... How does the label emocore get us any closer to describing what's unique about this new kind of music? And this isn't really surprising, I don't think. Like, there are countless examples of members of bands kind of shirking the labels that other people apply to them. And I respect that. I also think that genre talk can be helpful in some situations to try to talk about certain collections of sounds. And that's certainly what my show is invested in doing to some degree. So that was Embrace on Discord Records, a record label run by Ian and his friends. Here is another band that also came out of Revolution Summer. They're called Rites of Spring. And the rhythm section, I think Guy Picciotto and Brennan Canty, they went on to play with Ian in legendary band Fugazi. But before then, they were in Rites of Spring. And here's one of their tracks from their one and only LP. This is Deeper Than Inside.
We'll be right back.
was Deeper Than Inside by Washington, D.C. band Rites of Spring. It's interesting that both Embrace and Rites of Spring created a template in a way, and not just in the sounds, while that's certainly the case, as we'll see throughout the episode, but also in a couple other ways that are quite interesting. So both bands, Embrace and Rites of Spring, only put out one record, and they put out those records. In the case of Embrace, the record came out posthumously after the band had already disbanded. And Rites of Spring, I think it was near the end of their tenure, maybe just after. And that the members of the bands were quite young. And that seems to be something that came to characterize emo music, that the bands were composed of really young members, and they often only released one record, or sometimes just one EP, one 7-inch. And even incredibly influential bands in the scene. I think it's one of the reasons why the music speaks to me, is that there's so much, of course, youth and enthusiasm, but this idea that anyone can do it, you know, it's so DIY. It doesn't matter how old you are, you know, young or old. And I really appreciate that about the music. Okay, so now that we have a little bit of a baseline for some of the sounds in this quote-unquote emo core music that's coming out of Washington, D.C., that being kind of internal, deeper than inside, sort of in internal focused lyrics and more crooned or lyrics that vocals that sometimes verge on crooning, even though we didn't hear that as much in the Rites of Spring song. There's a melodic quality to it that's not always present in hardcore. From here, it really splinters, and it could go in so many different directions. I've chosen two different directions, so we're going to follow one of them for a few songs, and then we're going to backtrack and then follow another offshoot after that. Next, we're going to listen to a band called Julia. And Julia, from San Diego, California, they were active from 1993 to 1998. Like the other bands we've listened to, they only put out a single record, self-titled, on Abolition Records. If you're interested in this kind of music, check out Abolition Records. That's E-B-U-L-L-I-T-I-O-N. They've got some really, really great stuff if you're into a ton of hidden gems. Anyway, this song is going to be a little bit longer, and it's going to play with a quiet, loud dynamic with some of the familiar sounds in a way that we haven't heard before. So here it is. It's called Tongue Biting by Julia.
Thank you.
was a song Tongue Biting by emo band Julia on Ebullition Records. The thing that strikes me about it, as I mentioned, is this quiet, loud dynamic, which just, if you do any digging into the history of emo music, you'll find it everywhere. It becomes such a staple of the genre, and I think they're one of the best at executing it. And I think there's a development in the guitars too, and there's even more space for noodling, and the bass lines are actually pretty danceable, I think, compared to some of the earlier stuff. Oh, and another thing, that it almost feels like it's half time. Even when it gets loud, it almost feels like it's half time compared to some of the early emo stuff. So we have the form is evolving or kind of being molded in different ways, and you can see it kind of break off from its hardcore roots a little bit, even though the vocals keep it tethered to that tradition in a way. It being played at a slower pace, and then not only is it slower, but we also have these really melodic, peaceful, tranquil passages too. The next band we're going to listen to takes that quiet, loud dynamic and edges it, and that melodic approach, and pushes it even further towards pop. For me, it's a sweet spot. It resides in the sweet spot between, it's kind of poppy, but it's not so poppy. It's a band called I Hate Myself, and the song is Roy on the Make.
Thank you.
That was the band I Hate Myself with the song Roy on the Make. There are a couple things I want to say about it. First, the EP, it's the last thing they ever released. It's just called Three Song EP. They released that in 2005, though they formed back in the mid-90s. And the EP itself is quite interesting. It's almost like a concept EP, and it revolves around this encounter that this character Roy has being struck by lightning. And in that song, there's a line, "Come out, spark, and take my heart," being struck by lightning and his heart stopping. And then it kind of comes full circle. And there's this sort of connection forged between the lightning and Roy. Anyway, it's kind of interesting. Check that out. Listen to the whole thing if you're interested. So we have singing on this song, just straightforward singing in an emo song. And what I'm hoping to do is show, like, from a band like Embrace to Julia and then to I Hate Myself, that there's this kind of progression. I mean, in terms of inching closer towards straightforward pop music or being more and more influenced by pop, it's something that I've seen just in my own travels. It seems like a phenomenon that takes place and can be observed in a bunch of different genres, and I think it certainly is the case with emo music. Like, you listen to that song Roy on the Make, and suddenly bands like Taking Back Sunday and Fall Out Boy make a little bit more sense in the context of the genre. You know, we're inching ever so closer. And this next song is going to be the last step in this trajectory. And I think you would agree it's by far the poppiest song. It's a more contemporary song. It's by a band called Arm's Length, off their record Never Before Seen, Never Again Found. This is Overture.
I'm breaking bones and you're signing my cast. That's exactly how you'll wind up dead. I am blessed to be home. I'm possessed by my past. Put a roof over my rotten head. You know exactly where I'll go when I'm gone. Know that it's been in the works for so long. Born and raised, tending to our trauma bond. 'Cause you know that it's all we've got. Still struggling with faces and facing the worst I can be. And I've been reasoning with all my reasons to live, but I still got more reasons to leave. You know exactly where I'll go.
Overture from the band Arm's Length. And I think you can see what I mean, that from there we're essentially in pop. I think it's still emo music. Of course, the diaristic lyrics, but the vocals have been smoothed out entirely. You have the layered vocals, kind of the shouted layered vocals that you would get in more pop radio ready music on other radio stations, I guess. Okay, so that's one tributary. The second one, we're gonna have to back up a little bit. So the bands that we listened to, Julio is from California. I Hate Myself, I don't know if I mentioned it, they're from Florida. And Arm's Length is a Canadian band, actually. They formed in Belleville, Ontario, right on. So we're going to back up to another band that's considered one of the hallmark bands of the genre, and the progenitor, some would say, of the term Midwest emo. This band formed in the early 90s in Illinois. They put out one LP and broke up soon after, though I think they've done a few reunion shows since then. The band is Captain Jazz, and the song is Oh Messy Life, here on CKUW 95.9 FM, broadcasting out of Winnipeg, Manitoba. Here's Oh Messy Life by Captain Jazz. Was Oh Messy Life by Captain Jazz. We're back to the barked kind of shouty vocals, but the guitars are really, really cleaned up, and you notice there's this syncopation or sort of odd time signatures going on in the guitar riffs and in the drums, what some people might call math rock. And that becomes one of the calling cards of Midwest emo. We have odd time signatures, twinkly, mathy guitar riffs. So there you have it. Perhaps you know the front person for Captain Jazz was Tim Kinsella, just a kid from what I understand. And he went on to form a bunch of bands, but probably most notably the band American Football. And I couldn't pass up this opportunity. I did really debate it because I'm sure a lot of you have heard this track before, and I like to expose people to new music, but I think hearing this song in the context of the sounds that we've been listening to this afternoon, I hope that they might reorient you at least slightly to the familiar sounds in this intro that you're about to hear. I'm sure you've heard it before. This is Never Meant by American Football. Never Meant by American Football. I believe they put that record out, yeah, just before the millennium, 1999. And probably, I would say maybe the most iconic emo riff ever. It's got that Midwest thing where it's syncopated and it's kind of twinkly. And that links it to some of the songs, especially the Captain Jazz song right before it, except the vocals go in this completely different direction, much like that first tributary that we explored that ended with Arm's Length. By the end, the vocals are just so smooth and pure, and we're not anywhere close to Ian MacKaye barking about not drinking or whatever. And I find those transitions really, really interesting. Okay, we got time for a couple more tracks. I'm gonna spin another Midwest emo kind of mathy track. This is a band called Algernon Cadwallader. One thing about emo, you got to put up with some interesting esoteric names. This is their track, Casual Discussion in a Dome Between Two Temples. Enjoy. Was Algernon Cadwallader and their track Casual Discussion in a Dome Between Two Temples. In a lot of ways, I think that track splits the difference between Captain Jazz, Oh Messy Life, and Never Meant, and that we have the mathy, twinkly guitars, like I've been saying, but then we also have the barked lyrics, which I find quite interesting and effective. I hope this has all made some shred of sense. There are so many threads that a person can follow, and I tried to pick a couple. I hope that you found it enjoyable and maybe you clued you into a few bands that you want to follow up on. As is my practice, we're going to play one more song. It's going to be a local track. I in no way am suggesting that this band is an emo band. But I think they do a good job of blending the personal and the political, clearly coming from a place of hardcore. I've had the pleasure of seeing them perform a couple times just in the last month or so. And they have a show coming up that I'll plug after we give this a spin. This is the band Age of Self, right here from your very own Winnipeg, Manitoba, and the track Roadrunner Once.
One, two.
Roadrunner Once by local Winnipeg band Age of Self. I've got a bunch of stuff to plug here. I'm going to try to fit it in 2 minutes. First, Age of Self show a little bit down the pipe, but put on your calendar. They're playing Public Domain April 11th with a Toronto/Turan band, Siaka. I'm probably not pronouncing that right, but they're a hardcore band. Come out, support Age of Self, Public Domain, April 11th. What else we got? I know I plugged it last week. Matthew Rankin's latest film, Universal Language, now showing at Cinematheque. You can catch it today at 5 p.m., 9 p.m., on the 9th at 5:15, and then also the evenings of the 12th and the 13th. And the 15th in the afternoon. Please, please, please do that. It's an amazing film. I saw it for the second time last night. Cinematheque was sold out, packed house. It was amazing. And then a show that's coming up in a few days. It's Still Houseplants, a UK band. And Compost, a local Winnipeg band, is opening for them. There are still tickets available for this. It's being